Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me as co-host on the BFN Radio program to enlighten your day, to encourage you, to inspire you, to share with you what God has shared with us so we together can advance the kingdom of God here on earth is John Paul Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Also joining us this morning is the producer, the smart guy, the one who knows it all, knows something.
Barely.
A very knowledgeable and very grateful for us, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Stand strong. The Lord, He's with you. If you're a believer, He's in you. If you're not, you can be today. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Today is the day of salvation. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to BFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
We're here in the Extra Hour this morning, and we're going to grab a hold of this time. We're going to make it, force it to comply with what we want to be able to deliver to you during this time. I do want to say quickly, like I said, I was reading from an article on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on it, understanding what I talked about, the Hurricane Isaac, i.e. laughter, a warning shot over the fire, fired over the bow of America, and that at the very same time that God gave this to me, John, the very same time that He was giving this to me, and I was having it put up, I said, I want to put this thing up, that, and you can see at the very same time in the empire, a country's called an empire. You know, it's called a nation. We forget about that. We don't longer call things empires anymore. But we're an empire.
Right.
And the empire of America. And so with that, at the very same moment that I'm hearing God's word, there is a shooting at the Empire State Building.
Oh, wow.
In New York. And it's available for, you can see this on the VFN Torch, but it's called Multiple People Shot Near Empire State Building in Manhattan. And that's what the police were saying at the time. And understand, these things are happening at the very same time. So the very same time God's laughing for us not responding, I'm writing what I believe the Lord is saying very specifically. At the same time, the empire has shots fired at it. And this is the big thing about it, that the most people, nine people, I believe, were wounded. But the number of people that were wounded, they were wounded by the police officers who never used their gun before in the line of duty.
Wow.
It wasn't there. An employee went in to kill somebody and that situation. But the police officers, when they responded, they started shooting and innocent bystanders. I mean, you can't just shoot in New York. I mean, there's people and building and concrete
everywhere.
I mean, if you shoot straight down at a concrete, at a little bit of angle, it'll hit the concrete. It'll rise up about 4 or 5 feet and it'll travel horizontal all the way across for hundreds of feet. It doesn't just stop when you shoot the ground. And so you can be on one side of a car, for example, and somebody's on the other side of that car and they're shooting at you. You can actually point your shotgun down kind of at a 45-degree angle and shoot on the other side of the car where you're shooting underneath the car. It'll hit the concrete. It'll rise up about 5 feet and it'll travel right across, straight across underneath that car, and it will shoot that suspect's feet. And it'll keep traveling like that. Isn't that interesting?
That's interesting.
Well, not like nine people, I believe, were shot, a number of people. The majority of people were killed by the law enforcement officer. And I'm saying this not to say anything about the officers. Understand, this is a sign. This is a sign that America's never had to deal with what we're about to have to deal with. and all these things that you can rely on when everything's going good, we're not used to that. And people are going to get hurt by people that are very meant to protect us. Mm-hmm. And because they've never faced it before, you just get zealous and you start responding and you have to do what you've never done before. And people just casualties in that.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and we've seen some serious casualties and you're going to hear about it. You got to go to VFN TV today and you got to watch God Does Speak. God Does Speak. It's a prophetic conversation that leaders had as we recorded a conference call, but has videos and things in there, including our presidents in there. We have people in there that are talking and you're hearing right now. And now we're, why wait for its history? Why not hear it now and respond to it? And maybe God, and this is our hopes, it's not just to inform you, but to inform you in hopes that you would be hear God's voice and respond to him, what he's saying, so he can stop this disaster. Because he says, if we repent, he'll stop it. He will stop it. And so, you know, with that, I mean, at the very same moment that's being shared, and you can see this on the VFN Torch, I mean, here we're having to make those two things available at the very same time of what's taking place in there. And then right on top of that, what was released is the Family Research Council released a study that was done that religious hostility in America has risen greater than it's ever happened before. And you can find out about this. It's called a Survey of Religious Hostility in America, but hostility against religious liberty has reached an all-time high, they say, and the attacks are increasing at an unprecedented rate. America's first liberty, the First Amendment, the freedom of religion is being pushed out of the public life, out of schools, and even out of churches. And you got to see this thing. I mean, the list, case after 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 case. When we have Parthenon set up on the high place, the government supporting in Tennessee, in Nashville, we're pulling down the Ten Commandments, a little small thing, sitting behind the courts and all that. And you got to understand, there's nothing more frustrating to hear somebody talk logically about this. There is no logic about it. If we stay in sin and we rebel against God, there's not going to be logic to this. It's God's just going to turn us over to this thing.
Right. That's right.
And you got to hear, you know, you can hear it. You can watch it on VFN TV. Is this nation under judgment? Is America under God's judgment? Just we do, you know, being in my law enforcement experience, it's like going to a courtroom where I present the evidence, you know, I present what God says. No, I present the evidence, you know, what's taking place. So we look at the facts and then we just go back and look at God's word. What does God's word say about this? And then you draw the conclusion based on what God says. Then we present the next evidence. There's three phases of judgment for a nation. God turns a nation over. And I'm not talking about the end of the world. But listen, if you die in this, it's the end of your world.
End of your world.
I like the people. This is not the end of the world. But he's dead. He's standing at the throne room of God. He died in that hurricane. She's dead now because of that. And it's like, you know, the world, our world personally ends when our breath leaves our body here. And then we answer for it at the throne room of God instantly. So don't be caught up in end times. Realize we're here for a vapor, a time, a short time. And we're going to be held eternally accountable for the decisions that we make. And the most important thing that we know is what we think about God. That's the most important thing about us, is what we think about him. That is he the Lord of our life? Have we made him not a religious expression, not a good idea, not a Sunday encounter, but the Lord of our life?
That's right.
I do want to make a quick correction. You know, I talked about, you know, in a previous program about in the 80s, I said, and if you could, you know, make this a part of that that highlight. But I talked about, you know, where the church was turning to government. Well, it wasn't the 80s. I mean, come on. It was actually in 2000. It was during George W. Bush's administration, you know, the faith-based organizations and all that stuff that was going on. And so with that, it was actually around, I guess, 2000, whatever, when during his administration. Yeah. But the church was just running to him. So I just want to make a correction for that. And if you made this part of that, that it wasn't in the 80s. It was actually after the year 2000 this was taking place. And now, in the context of that, now we're seeing the people turn to the government. But we can't say anything because the church turned to the government during George W. Bush's administration, President Bush's administration. It was really, I mean, desperately turning to government. It was amazing. And you know why? Because 97% of the church, according to George Barna, is robbing God and not even giving him his tithes and his offerings.
Right.
Because those that are leading in ministry, there would be plenty enough to be able to do that. But I got news for you. Our president, during the Cairo speech, in his first international speech, President Barack Obama, when he went there, and this is part, I put this together with that, is that he went there and he said, and I can't give you the word right now, but there is a, in Islam, there's a particular temple tax that they pay that, you know, every Muslim pays that.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, they do kind deeds and feed the poor and do all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he specifically said that he's going to work with Islam to be able to make sure that that fits within the context of our laws in America, where you get, the nonprofit type status and all that for, you know, Islam and the Muslims, so they can actually give their monies and stuff. Well, I got news for you. The Muslims are more faithful to their God and their religion. And the Mormons are more faithful to their God and their religion, because they say you can't even go to heaven. I think both of them probably say that. You know, if you don't give your to the poor and you don't give your tithe and works oriented, then you don't go to heaven. Well, the church is 97% is robbing God. So let me just through osmosis alone, through the money that will be made available to Islam and the money in the Mormon church, you're seeing what they're doing. There's a reason why the Mormons are able to do the different things they're doing, because they say you can't get to heaven unless you give 10. I mean, think about it. The government, you know, all the money they tax, it's a government. And that was the biggest concern originally. And you can find out about this on, and hopefully on the app soon, it'll be made available. The original tent about America was, there was a long time that Utah was not allowed in as a state.
Right.
I mean, for 47 years, I believe it was, because they were concerned about, first of all, you know, plural marriages, having multiple wives. But the biggest thing they were concerned about was they were a bigger taxing entity than the government. They would have another kingdom in the kingdom, if you want to say, a natural kingdom. And so they were concerned that they would actually take over.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so they conceded, Brigham Young conceded and said that we will, you know, all of a sudden, you know, plural marriages is not right anymore.
Right.
And, but they still are. You know, 10% is being given in to the Mormon organization, and Islam's doing the same thing. And our president's working with them. You know, and whatever. I mean, you know, people do what they do. I'm just saying that we as the church, we're gonna have to wake up. We're gonna have to wake up and quit, you know, spending all of what God's given us on ourselves and realize we have to wake up and quit robbing God, because just through osmosis alone. When somebody's preaching works and somebody's preaching you can't get to heaven unless you, you know, blow somebody up or, you know, unless you give this particular amount of money, or you can't, you know, get to the third celestial heaven if you don't do this, and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, just through works alone, because they're thinking you have to actually do this to get saved. They're going to be more faithful to their religion than the church is to God.
Mm.
And understand this. When you give God his tithe, the first fruits, the first, not at the end, the first fruits, and you give him offerings on top of that, you're saying he's the God of the harvest. You're saying he's the one that gave that to you. You're acknowledging him. But understand, we got to get this. If not, we will get it over probably maybe a 10-year period. We may have to fight for our own country again, and maybe the church, you know, the country can come and go. But, you know, what are we going to do with ourselves?
That's right.
As the church, we want to obey God in that area. So I just wanted to understand that make that correction, that it was during the George W. Bush reign, you know, for when he was president, that was taken, and it was aggressive. And you can hear the rest of it there, but aggressive, where people today are in jail because they're trying to mingle all that. And it was just really weird. And it's like, is God not enough? We'll be right back in a moment.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called? The Google Play Store mm-hmm. for Android phones. So they right. can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can mm-hmm. download the VFN TV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or mm-hmm. you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right.
you know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device mm-hmm. and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, mm-hmm. Within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. We were able to have Pat interpretate. Did you hear that?
Okay.
He interpreted it.
Okay.
He interpreted Fonzie and Potsy. And you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I'm Googling interpretate, but I'm trying to find it. Google knows, it seems to know everything, but somewhere interpretate's not coming
up.
I'm spelling it right.
Are you spelling it right?
But it keeps on trying to correct it like it's not a word or something.
Oh,
that's like a squiggly line underneath it. Interpretate. That's amazing, isn't it?
Interpretate.
Interpret.
I can write that.
Interpretate. You know, maybe our listeners can help us out with that. But I'm just glad he interpreted it.
I'm glad too. Yeah, there was some sort of basketball tournament that was going on in Brooklyn, and after the basketball tournament,
Is it a tournament?
Are you trying to say I'm talking different?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about a tournament.
But anyway, there was this basketball game.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Tournament Ramos. Oh, my goodness. Here we are. Of course, the whole difficult thing is having, you know, you got to see it, because the lips come out and go straight up like a 90-degree turn. He goes, tournament. But, you know,
it's as good as wrestle.
I was trying to interpretate it, and when I interpreted it.
When you were wrestling?
I was wrestling. I was going to say. I was wrestling over the whole interpretated issue, and I figured, you know, this is like a tournament. I can't make my lips go out and point up, but that was amazing.
Tournament.
No, it's tournament. Oh, tournament. That's the the Three Stooges. Remember the Ollie and the Ollie was the
Moe, Larry, and Curly.
That's who says that. Tournament. Wait a minute.
Wise guy, huh?
Yeah, that's the one. That's what it was.
Some pertinent information we need to be sharing here. Don't need.
Okay, all right. We'll move on. Enough of the tournament. Well, you know, I had a chance to go this weekend, and the president of King College wrote a book, and I put a movie together, you know, that was called Obama 2016. Mm-hmm. And it's about his life story. And at first I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, but somebody called me up, you know, and asked me to go. And I thought, well, I'll go. And I'm thinking that, you know, with that,
is he okay?
Yeah, he fell out and hit the floor over there. and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be, you know, cause I truly believe that we need to honor our president, and we need to, be very careful how we talk about what we talk about. And I went in there, and the first thing I noticed was everybody in there seemed to be white and over 50 years old. And I thought, okay, this is not going to be good. I'm going to have to walk out of this theater here, because this is not. And of course, it was in the very back crevices in the corner and stuff. And so I thought, man, I might get mugged back here in the back. Mm. And when I heard it, it's a story from the time he was a child to now. It helps explain, you know, who he is as a man and how he developed his thought processes. And you know, when somebody says something that's factual and right, mm-hmm. and somebody says, especially the church says, you know, that's not true, I'm like, you just shut that person down, because if you deny my reality, if you deny my reality and then you say you're going to talk to me about something, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to listen to you.
But credibility.
Yeah. The fact is that you can acknowledge somebody's reality. And just because you acknowledge their reality does not mean that what they're doing with that reality is right. You're just saying I exist and I matter, and this did happen to me. But then we say, well, what does God want us to do with these realities? Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, his whole life story, he's been to all these different lands that are under, you know, oppression. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the Great Britain, you know, was colonizing the world, you know, basically putting it under their rule, and little kingdoms all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they were colonizing all these lands. And then here, America broke away from the king because we were anti-colonialists. That's how we began. We did not think that was right. But then we colonized, you know, the colonies and all that kind of stuff. But they were colonizing is what they were doing. Then we broke away and we ended up with the United States of America. But then we started doing exactly what Great Britain did and colonizing the world as well. Yeah. And if we, I don't know what the percentages are, and we'll maybe have them in a future program, but if we are only like a smidgen of the percentage of the population of the world, but yet we're using most of the world's resources, you know, understanding now how God sees things, understand that you cannot deny that reality. I mean, if people it's are true. Starving, if Lazarus is in a third world country and he's starving, he's not in your sight, so you can't see him. Mm-hmm. And we're living high on the hog and not even thinking about them, or thinking about how to get resources to them, or bring drinking wells to them, or to go there and to birth the church in that area that can begin to family, and like all the orphans that are taking place because of the AIDS, and all the people that are starving, and that we cannot miss the fact that that is a true reality. And the answer for us as Christians is we repent for that. We don't deny it. We say that's right. You're absolutely right. And we were wrong. Not only that, for the racial injustices and the oppressions and all the things that took place, you know, it's real. It really is happening. Sure. It really has happened. But the answer is not Islam. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is not just do a better job. The answer is cry out to God for forgiveness, that he would give us mercy, and that we would begin to follow his teachings and how he wants us to be able to do it. And so you can really understand our president when you understand his life, you know, and his mother was just carrying him from place to place. And he's a fatherless son, you know, who had, you know, there's not anybody more perfect than an absent father.
No, that's right.
Because it's hard to live up with an imaginary figure that never, you know, if you're a stepfather, for example, and your child's never lived with their father, that quite often they could be talking about this fantasy of how their natural father would be. And it's really tough to compete with a fantasy.
That's right.
And it's almost like, you know, our president had the fantasy of who his father was, but his sister came to him and shared with him, this is not true.
Let me tell you some realities about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they interviewed his brother and who's living in a third world 10 shed type
shack
right now. And he believes the total opposite, you know, of his brother Barack. And he seemed like a pretty cool dude, didn't he? I'd like to meet him.
Yeah. He even admitted he wasn't getting any resources from the president either. You know, he's just doing it on his own.
And I think it's because of they just see view things differently. They view things differently, and in the context of that he believed that that South Africa, for example, was colonized, and that if it would have stayed under the colony a little bit longer, then they would have actually done better. I think he compared themselves to South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And when they compared themselves to South Korea, that they were in the same, they were ahead of South Korea. Was this Kenya? I can't tell you where.
Yeah, he's from Kenya. I think he's from Kenya, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, we were ahead of South Korea, but at that time when we said we don't want to be a colony anymore, and now they're a third world nation, and South Korea has just shot up past Kenya and is doing wonderfully well. Some of the products that we get today, a lot of the products come from there. I can't think of all the different names of them right now, but a lot of our phones and all. And what he's saying is, my reality is that this way of doing government has oppressed us. It's the opposite of what you're saying. But there's not a logical argument here. It's not a logical argument because we're going under a time of discipline, lest we repent.
Yeah. Right.
That we have to realize that that our president, for example, is not our problem. We're his problem. You know, we're the ones that brought Jehoiakim. And if you got to go to VFN-TV and watch Josiah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's available right on VFN-TV, Josiah. And understand this, that when God's word was made available to a king, King Josiah, who took over when he was 6 years old, he didn't know about it. He just didn't know that that's what God wanted. And and he sent some people down. Long story short, you can hear all this on VFN-TV because this is a word for us. But once he found out what was right, he ripped his clothes, he ripped his robe. And the moment he ripped his robe, understand this, the moment he ripped his robe, that everything that he did that was wrong and evil prior to that, it totally was forgotten by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's not until the time that we repent for what we've done. I mean, when you think about it, that Josiah was a king chosen by God. And he was 8 years old when he'd taken on the leadership. So you can imagine his father was evil. I mean, 8 years old, you got power, and you raised up in an evil household. It's got to be really tough. And but when he sends some guys out to be able to go to some carpenters to fix up the temple, he tells the people who are over the temple, the priests, listen, just give all the money to them. Don't oversee them. They're trustworthy people. Which probably shocked the priest because they're used to controlling all the finances, and gave it to them. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, the priests start running out of the temple and say, "Looky here, what we found!" And they found the Word of God. They found, quote, we would say the Bible. They found the Word of God. And so, why didn't you find that before we started nosing around? Why didn't you find these truths before? But either way, and so Josiah as king, you know, tells him to his secretary to read it. When he reads it, he finds out, oh my goodness, just hear when you read God's word, when you hear people today right now say God's not upset, they're just not in God's word. They're just not in his word. Because you read his word, it's not that complicated.
Right.
We're doing a lot of things we should not have done. And so when you read God's word, you find it. So he had God's word read to him. He's 26 years old, I believe, and he was totally just broken over it. He's like, God's anger is burning against us. Now listen, he didn't think you know, all of a sudden God's anger was burning against him. What he realized was that, once he read God's word, that his anger has been burning against us for some time now. And I just realized God's angry with us. And when he's angry with us, we got to do what's right. So he rips his clothes and goes, oh my goodness. And he rips his robe. And the second he rips his robe, you know, at that point on, God calls him the best king there ever was before or after him, because not only did he personally repent, but he went to the people and he repented in front of the people. And not only did he do that, because he was king, he could tell people, this is how it's going to be.
That's right.
This is how it's going to be. Because when you're king, you can do that.
Right.
That's right.
You can do that. You can say, you know, this is how it's going to be. We won't. And this, so then he repented in front of them in the presence of God. They repented in front of God and him. And the whole nation said, listen, we are wrong. God, forgive us. Mm-hmm. And they made a covenant with God. And then after they personally dealt with themselves, then they started going across the land. They started going across the land. And then they said, you know, let's get rid of all these altars and all these different things taking place. Right. And they begin to change the things in the land, tear down altars to Moloch, the sacrificed babies. Realize, you know, America has a lot of altars scattered in every state called Moloch altars that are abortion clinics where we are sacrificing babies every single day. If you were to average them out, I believe it's like 3 an hour in every county a day or something like that. There's so many, that which blood, innocent blood is being shed. And that's what God was dealing with Israel about, was that innocent blood. And you can hear this whole thing and watch it on VFN TV, but you got to hear this. And so then he changes personally. Then he changes in front of people. He declares God's word is true. He tells the people, teaches the people the truth. The people respond to him because he's king. We're going to change all this stuff. Cause when you're king, you can make these changes. And the Lord said, you know, I'm going to spare you. I'm going to spare you, and I see you, and there's never been a king greater than you. But with that, the Lord said, but because of the innocent blood that was shed, I'm still going to bring, I'm going to thrust you from my presence. Not you, but you're the next after. You're going to be thrust from my presence. All my people are going to be thrust from my presence. And this is what really concerns me. I don't know. You know, as a nation, you know, is it over for, as a nation? But no matter if it's over or not over, we don't just repent to save our nation. We repent to save our soul.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? We're not trying to bargain with God here for a nation.
That's right.
We're doing what's right before God because it's right. And with that, when he dies and God takes him on, I mean, he rewards Josiah with an early death and takes him on to be with him. Then one of his sons takes over for about 3 months, and then he tries to bargain with Egypt, and it falls apart. He pulls it back, bargains with Egypt, by the way. Then Egypt places the next one of Josiah's son in place and names him Jehoiakim, which means God's set man. And you can find out more about this right now on God Does Speak. But listen, he's called God's set man. So what does that mean? That means that Egypt put the leader in place over God's people. Where did our president go in his first international speech? He went to Egypt. Who did he empower? He invited 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Who's the president now of, who's in the leadership and the president of Egypt? It's the Muslim Brotherhood. Who's fighting for leadership in Syria right now? The Muslim Brotherhood. Who's in leadership in Syria? The Muslim Brotherhood. A whole caliphate's being surrounding not only Israel, but it's surrounding the church, by the way, at the very same time. And so Jehoiakim, so even though the world or Egypt put Barack Obama in place, I mean, put the, I was playing with the words, even though Egypt decided that Barack Obama would be our next president, even though they decided that, for example, even though Egypt decided that Jehoiakim would be the next president, it was God's will that right now, that President Barack Hussein Obama is God's will for America.
Right.
I mean, I don't personally have any doubt about that. I think that he's there because he's God's set man. And you can find out more about this. God Does Speak, and we'll tell you in detail what God shared with us. Go to VFN TV and watch it. But with that, understand that there's because God's taken his people into a place of bondage, it's a progression. And so, you know, Jehoiakim lasts for a little bit, but then the very thing he bargained with took him out. And that concerns me because we believe, But God has shown us that there's a strategy by Islam to harm our, to kill our president.
Yeah.
There's a strategy from Islam to kill our president. And that's exactly what happened when you understand Josiah and what happened with Israel. And when Egypt put it in place, and we were praying against that, that that would not take place, and we wanting God to stop all these plans. But listen, if we don't repent, there's no hope. We have to repent for our sins if he's God's set man. And so then they do that. They pull Jehoiakim away from God's people so he couldn't even lead them anymore, and they put his uncle in place. And they change his name, and they change his name to the meaning of this: God is just. So it went from Josiah to God's set man, to God is just. And he's dealing with the innocent blood that was shed. And then he said he thrusted them from his presence. Why? Because God is just leader. He took them all the way in from Egypt's captivity or bargainship with high taxes. I mean, that's what Jehoiakim did. He taxed everybody to the kilt. I mean, all the way up. And that was about oppression. And then God is just leader. He took them all the way into Babylonian captivity. I want to tell you this. I'm not saying there's no hope. I'm saying we can repent. I've seen the condition of the church. I've seen the pride and the arrogance and the haughtiness and not wanting to believe that God speaks anymore, and kingdom building, personal kingdom building versus, you know, focusing on God's kingdom. And it doesn't look 97% robbing God of the tithes and offerings. You know, when Mormons are being more faithful to their religion and Muslims are being more faithful to their religion than we are to God.
That's right.
I mean, do you really think, you know, and when they rebuke us for our sin and they're right in regards to we are sinning like that, it's not well. So understand that. Well, then you say, well, that's King Josiah. You know, he could do that because he was king. But let me tell you about America. Go back and read the Declaration of Independence. Go back and read the Constitution of the United States. It's a government by the people and for the people. That all of our rights come from God. In America, you are Josiah. That these people, the people that are running for office, they're running for office to work for you for 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years. They're looking to be appointed by you to be a judge. You are King Josiah. You're going to be held accountable just like King Josiah was going to be held accountable for not doing what's right. This is a country that's different than any other country. It's not like any other country. It's a government by the people and for the people. Listen, why do you think somebody spends $1 billion in their war chest to give you a business plan and a vision for your country? So you, Josiah, would say, I'm going to hire you for the next 4 years to take my country. But we've lost that reality that God's going to hold us personally accountable. We are Josiah. What does that mean? Well, we have a whole bunch of kings, if you would. I mean, the population of America. But we can begin as personally, get to personally get involved and quit blaming the people that we hired to be in our school boards. We can change all that. Quit blaming the people that we hired for 4 years to be able to run our states. Quit blaming the people that we hired to go to Washington, D.C., and hire somebody different if you don't like it.
That's right.
You know, get involved. Find out who they are. Know their life. I mean, know something about them. There's one thing about this particular president that we have now and this other one that's running for a candidate. You know, do we really even know anything? Have you even invested to know anything about them before you decide you're going to say you let this one lead or that one lead? I mean, if you're king, if you're Josiah, you're going to be held accountable to this. And realize this, if it's the battlefield of ideas, of values, that all of our rights come from God, that's our Constitution. If we let go of that, then we lose the authority that you've been given under the Constitution, under the hand of God, to be able to stand up and make these kind of decisions. But if you do it, understand, you know, you're not going to go and just tear stuff down and break the laws, but you're going to change the laws. You're going to change the laws. You're going to say, listen, at one time this was illegal. Another time we said in 1972, 73, that it's now legal to be able to sacrifice babies to Moloch to have abortions. But we're going to change the law and we're going to put hire people to be in these particular places of leadership under our kingdom to lead to make sure that these laws are upheld. And then all of a sudden our kingdom turns. We are Josiah. We are Josiah. You can cover your eyes. You can go in self-denial. You can refuse to read the Constitution. But the reason why they want to change your Constitution, because you will, if you ever happen to read it, you'll find out you're the king of America.
Wow.
You know, they would say, you know, a man is a king of his castle. The reason why they said that was because in America, we left being up under a king, and every individual citizen had that authority to be able to decide who they were going to allow to work for them, to rule under their rulership as the leader. And the people are the leaders, a government by the people and for the people. And they rule, they lead under our leadership. Mm-hmm. And if we don't like it, we can replace them. But if we're not even involved, if 33% of people who say they're Christians and conservatives are not even registered to vote and they don't even know it, and you're the king, you're not even going to be able to say anything about your kingdom. You don't get out of this for free. You just chose not to get involved in your kingdom. You chose to get involved in what was going on, which means this, first of all, just like Josiah turned things around when he read God's word and he found out that God's anger is burning against him, we can read God's word and you need to hear this whole revelation in its entirety. And you can hear it at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and watch it on VFN TV. You know, it's about Josiah, the state of our nation, your kingdom, and understand you can do something about it, that we can be like Josiah. We can rip our hearts instead of rip our robes. We can be broken over the condition of our kingdom and what we've allowed it to be. But then we can be empowered by reading the word of God and begin to abide with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can find out how to do that at iabide.org. If you don't presently do that, but then you can begin to just read your constitution and get involved in your nation that you are king over. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all of us. We are responsible. There is no them. There's only us. It's e pluribus unum. Mm-hmm. Though we're many, we are one. Right. We are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We'll be right back. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is. And it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I've had the chance to go to Bible school before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right.
Be prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU. .org.
John, this is, times have changed so much, don't you think, right now?
Yeah, man.
Totally.
Blazing, yes.
Yeah. I mean, technology now is everywhere. you know, news is everywhere. You know, somebody says one thing in China, it's heard in England, it's heard in Antarctica, it's heard in Australia, everywhere. You know, we can say an idea, or we can say, you know, what's important to us, and immediately the whole world hears about it. Yeah. You know, we have such an opportunity to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out immediately to the whole world. Mm-hmm. You know, and right now we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, and immediately all the people that we have that's following us, that's connected to us, who's tweeting about us or tweeting what we're tweeting or sharing what we're sharing, we can just share with the world the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
You know, you can go to the Facebook page on VFN TV by going to facebook.com/VFN TV. And then you can also go on the VFN TV page on Twitter. And in the same way, go on twitter.com/VFN TV1 and immediately connect the world to Jesus Christ.
Don't forget that you can subscribe as a free subscriber, VFNTV.com. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on subscribe in your menu, mm-hmm. and we'll see a few simple steps, and you can subscribe for free for all the content available. And not only that, you'll be notified on a regular basis of upcoming programs and things that are available to you as our loyal subscribers to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. That's VFNTV.com. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Well, if you missed that last segment, you've got to hear it. You've got to go to VFN TV and just watch the mm-hmm. prophetic words. Watch God is speaking. Watch, you know, about Josiah and understand that you are Josiah. Mm-hmm. And if we get that mindset and the heart set, that, you know, take the same approach Josiah took, you know, as a leader in our country, then, you know, there's hope. I mean, mm-hmm. it was evil, but, you know, it turned around when Josiah found out what, and you're not going to be able to find out what's right until you get in God's word, right. You know? And so understanding that, you can find more about that, you know, at VFN TV, go to the VFN also torch, but VFNTV.com, everything we're talking about, it's made available to you there as well. Now, the word of wisdom, the moment of wisdom, we talk about, you know, every day, a moment of wisdom, and we want to share with you. It's the 27th of the month, and so we want to share from Proverbs 27:18, as a matter of fact. And we kind of correspond with it. Like I said, it's about 31 chapters in Proverbs, therefore it's 31, sometimes 30, sometimes a little bit less in a month, but Proverbs 27 kind of helps you out. Let that whole chapter of Proverbs just wash over you, because right now we need some wisdom. Mm-hmm. We need some wisdom big time. Well, Proverbs 27:18 mm-hmm. reads, "He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And he who looks after his master," which is boss or employer, you think of it that way, "and he that looks after his master will be honored." It will be. Think about that. Mm-hmm. "He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit." In other words, if you work on the fig tree, you're going to eat. You know, if you don't work on the fig tree, right. it's not because you're going to get punished. You're not going to have any figs. You know? You got to have some fig. You're going to work the tree. You get some figs. And then he compares it to that. And he says, "He who looks after his employer or his boss will be honored, or his master will be honored." You think about it. In a day where so many people are losing their employment or fearing losing it, mm-hmm. we need to look to see if we've been walking in God's wisdom when it comes to us taking care of the needs of our employers mm-hmm. and our bosses. Have we only worked for our own personal benefit or our family's benefit? And in our heart, we know we saw our relationship with our boss or our employer or our supervisor as an adversarial one. Have we looked at it with, "I'm going to get mine," or "I deserve more," or "I'm just going to do the basic requirements, you know, lay low and not do anything extra. I'm going to go home. That's it. Or I'm going to stand around the time clock close to getting off so I can clock out right there at the moment that I'm going to take home. I wonder how much money's spent around that time clock, right?
Yeah, right.
And on and on. How do we respond to our bosses, our employers, our supervisors? You know, is it all about me? Never emphasizing their needs, you know, walking, being empathetic towards our bosses, walking in their shoes. What's it like to be able to be an owner or a supervisor or a leader? You know, God's wisdom says very specifically that if we will look after the needs of our employer, if we look after the needs of our bosses, that God will bless us, he says in Ephesians chapter 6. But also, you have the greatest chance that he or she's going to bless you and take care of you. I mean, think about it. Empathy is a very important word. It's like walking in someone's shoes. When you think about being empathetic towards your boss, a lot of people, mostly you hear, I expect my boss to have empathy for me, but you don't hear many people talking about having empathy for their employer or their supervisor or their boss. And if you can get this, because listen, first of all, as a Christian, we serve a Lord who's able to empathize with our weaknesses. He can relate to us. And if you want to minister to the one that owns your company, your supervisor, your boss, whatever, you know, you're going to need to empathize with them. I mean, if you don't empathize, but this is an example. Here's an example. Maybe you're going to sit down and have coffee together, you know, with your boss. Mm-hmm. And you say something like this, you know, I was watching you this year during all this difficult financial times in this economy, the pressure you must be feeling and having to balance so much to keep your dream, your vision, and our company profitable and healthy. It must cause you many sleepless hours, you know. I think about it. It must cause you many sleepless hours, and how sometimes it just you know, the pressure that you must be feeling. Well, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you, that your sacrifice for us and this company and our customers has not been unnoticed. The burden that you are carrying is greatly appreciated. I mean, it was your vision. I mean, there was no company before you began to build this business. And I realized that, you know, you labored and I was honored for you to invite me into this, you know, and I've seen it. And I just want you to know that I'm here for you, you know, and the company will stand with you. I'll stand with you. And if you see a way that I can help carry this burden, a way I can make your load easier, I want you to know, by God's grace, you know, I'll be there. I'll be there with you, man. I'll be there. I'm just thankful. You know, we can do this thing together. I'm grateful to you for allowing me to work with you for the success of this business and being able to provide for my family. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you'll stand out like a huge, bright halogen light because very few people empathize with those who are willing. As a matter of fact, this whole turn of our nation right now is totally missing the reality of what it takes to be able to establish things in a business. And it's like they always assumed that it was always there, that it wasn't always somebody there who labored and had a vision to bring something to pass. And because we lived in a free country, we were able to do that very thing, to be able to somebody's dream could be fulfilled. You know, begin to empathize with your employer, your boss. Begin to empathize with them. Let God see that. He says, even if your boss does not reward you, if you do this with a right heart, God will reward you. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that.
That's right.
But if you're one that just shows up for yourself and you're in it for whatever and you hang around the time clock and you're looking for them to empathize with you right now, business in America needs you to empathize with them. Because they are under attack. Today's proverb, Proverbs 27:18. He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And he who looks after his master, his boss, his employer, will be honored.
Wow. That is so awesome. We need to be able to take that in and be able to make that part of our life. But I wanted to share today with you a little bit about the highlights and VFN Torch Top 3. You know, right now, I'll tell you, I'm so encouraged by what I see happening and the comments and everything I'm hearing from our VFN radio listeners. And these are some awesome, awesome, great reports. One of the things that's caught a lot of speed is We can't point our fingers, but we can fight. And what's so encouraging.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a very good one, because in that segment, you know, the Family Research Council basically says that, you know, Christians are pointing their fingers and trying to judge the world about, you know, marriage and about sexuality. And it's like, you know what? We got to start at home first, you know. And David just took a bunch of individuals that were needing some help, and he was willing to minister to them. And starting first, you know, with the house of God. And so that's a great encouragement. I encourage you to go to the Torch, VFNTV.com, and you can find that segment there.
It'll really encourage you. It'll just tell you how to fight.
Yeah.
You know, we can't point fingers because we are them outside of him, and the world is suffering right now because of the condition of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But we can fight. We can fight spiritually.
We sure can. Number two, Pat, listen up. Life is but a vapor. And it's so encouraging because you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Life is a vapor. We're getting older every single day.
That's right.
And
he's getting really, I mean, it's amazing. I'm concerned. Atrophy.
I can see last time I saw, he had a couple of gray hairs on him.
A couple? It's a shrub, man. It's a shrub.
A shrub? The whiteness, I thought it was salt and pepper, but it's like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what you call that right now on him. But
well, which hair are you talking about, the left one or the right one?
Okay, but life is but a vapor, and we talked about Adam. Oh, my goodness, I didn't feel that, you know, I'm thinking that Adam lived 930 years.
Yeah.
Like we live, 7-8% of what Adam lived?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we're making excuses?
Can you imagine his birthday? He's like, happy century to you. Happy century.
Yeah. It's passing. Life is going by.
Yeah.
And if we don't seize the opportunity of the lifetime.
How can we mess up 80, 70, 80 years? We can do this thing, right?
Hello.
Well, at least half of it. How much have you wasted? This little vapor,
what
right?
What type of conversation you going to have with Adam up there in heaven? Well, you know, this 80 years is pretty tough. You know, I didn't get around to doing the thing that God told me to do. I was working on it. But, you know, now is the time. Now is the time. We need to seize the moment in the lifetime of that opportunity and do everything that we can for God in the time that we have to do that. And also, what's being highlighted is redigging the wells in Birmingham. I know that you're looking forward to being in Birmingham next month and participating in what's happening there. I mean, looking back at the injustice that was done during the time and just breaking what was spoken over the land and just turning our hearts back to God and turning our hearts back to our brothers and saying, you know what? We're not going to stand for injustice anymore. God is the one who's just. God is the one who's able to turn things around. And I know that's going to be, it's almost 49 years to the day where that occurred. And it's going to be
September the 15th, and that the injustice was there. Mm-hmm. And I just feel, this is what I feel in my spirit. I know we got to go. We're coming to the end. I just feel the sins of our father roaring like a tidal wave over an unrepentant church. Listen, we need to cry out to God, and you're going to find out. We'll go to VFN TV and watch these prophetic words. You got to hear it. God is speaking. God bless you. We had a wonderful time today on VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can listen to us on the VFN TV app. Go to your app store and type in VFN TV. You can find it, or go to VFNTV.com. Also, don't miss The Torch. It's a highlight from the program and so many things we have for you. God bless. Don't forget the live loop begins in 30 minutes, and we'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central. God bless.